So thank you for giving me this opportunity to present my piece of work. My name is Duke Liu from American Angus Association. And today I will talk about the impact on growth and fertility of haplotypes from regions of relative homozygosity in the Angus beef cattle. So first of all, what is runs of homozygosity? Okay, so let's look at this example where I have four animals here with genotypes from a segment of chromosome. And let's say animal one has all loci being homozygous. So this is a region of run of homozygosity, or an ROH. And similarly, animal 2 has an ROH as well at this region. But animal 3 and 4, this region is not an ROH for these two animals because of this locus being heterozygous and this one being heterozygous. So if we look at this animal, animal one, and in this region of ROH, the top string here is called ROH haplotype. So this is the haplotype from an ROH region. It's not just a random haplotype that you may sample from the population. So for this population of four animals, I have two ROH haplotypes. This is the first one for animal one, and this is another ROH haplotype for animal two. So animal ones carry two copies of ROH haplotype one, and animal two carries two copies of haplotype two. Animal three carries one copy of haplotype 2, and animal 4 carries one copy of haplotype 1. So you might ask a question, why is animal 1 homozygous at all loci in this region? So there might be reasons, there might be several reasons, but these two haplotypes might come from their ancestors. So they might be ancestral haplotypes being inherited from remote parents, remote ancestors. Or they could be, this region could be a target of selection in previous generations. In Angus population, our cattle have been selected for a certain trait over many generations. So we are curious if such ROH region exists in the Angus genome. And if they do exist, do the haplotypes from such region have anything to do with the traits that we've been focusing on? Do they affect a certain trait? Do they improve a certain trait? Or do they have any adverse effect on other traits? And that is the reason why I carry out this research. I want to characterize runs of homozygosity in the Angus population. And I also want to evaluate the impact of ROH haplotypes on growth and fertility. And for growth here, I have birth weight, weaning weight, and post-weaning gain. And for fertility, I have hyperpregnancy. I use a population of over 500,000 animals born between 1969 and 2018. And the pedigree has a maximum number of generations of 10. So it goes back 10 generations ago. These animals are genotyped with various SNP panels, but we have a total number of 44,000, about 45,000 SNP in common among these panels. And all of these SNPs are on 29 autosomes. So first of all, I use the SNPs to estimate effective population size, and then estimate linkage disequilibrium, and use these two values to estimate the minimum number of chromosome lengths to be used to detect runs of homozygosity. And that minimum length is equivalent to 45 SNPs, okay? And the software that I use is SNP 1101, version 1, from Mehdi Sarkozy at the University of Guelph. I'm going to show you results. Well, this result is very preliminary because at the time I'm speaking to you right now, I still have my analysis running at St. Joe, right? So it will be updated in a publication. So if we look at this average inbreeding coefficients, these red lines represents pedigree inbreeding. And this blue line represents ROH inbreeding. So ROH inbreeding is actually the proportion of the total length of the genome being covered by ROH segments. Okay, so ROH inbreeding is consistently higher than the traditional inbreeding coefficient, and the correlation between these two values is 0.62, relatively high. So this shows you the distribution of ROH inbreeding coefficients. So the average inbreeding based on ROH segments is about 0.13 to 0.14. And this shows the distribution of number of ROH segments per animal. So each animal has an average about 50 ROH segments across the genome. This slide shows the distribution of density of ROH across the genome. So you will see color, like cold color, like blue, represent low abundance of ROH. And bright color, like yellow and orange here, represent high abundance of ROH. Chromosome 13 has the highest number of ROH density across the genome. And most of the ROH segments are distributed around this position. And chromosome 28 has the lowest abundance of ROH segment. So you could see that the distribution of ROH density varies across the chromosome. Then you might ask question why it happened this way. And if I take, let's say, one segment here from chromosome 13, if I take this segment and I sample all the haplotypes from this segment and associate this haplotype with the traits that we've been selecting on, what would happen? Would it tell you something about the selection that we've been focusing on? So that is the next part. So I did association. Now, let's go to this one. Okay, go back to the previous slide. So this one, I will explain a little bit about the regression that I did. So again, animal 1 carried 2 copies of haplotype 1. Animal 2 carries 0 copy of haplotype 1. It has 2 copies of haplotype 2, but 0 copies of haplotype 1. Animal 3 carries 0 copy of haplotype 1, and animal 4 carries 1 copy of haplotype 1. So I did single haplotype regression, where the response is the adjusted phenotype. So phenotype here is birth weight, winning weight, and post-winning gain. And the phenotype was adjusted for all the fixed effects and random effects, all the effects that we use in our weekly evaluation. And the explanatory variable is the number of copies of haplotype. Let's say haplotype 1. So I regress the adjusted phenotype on number of copy of haplotype 1, 0, 1, or 2. So this regression will tell me the effect of one copy of haplotype 1. So if the animal carry one copy of haplotype 1, what would happen to his or her phenotype? So if it has two copies, then what happened to the phenotype? And then I repeated it for all the haplotypes across the genome. And then I have the p-value to tell me how significant the effect is. And then I adjusted the p-value for fall discovery rate or multiple testing. So after I did this association analysis, I got all the significant haplotypes for birth weight, for winning weight, and post-winning gain. And then I picked out all the haplotypes that are significant for all of those traits. So again, I did single trait first, and then I picked out all the haplotypes that are significant for three traits. Okay. This one, so look at this first graph. This is this haplotype. These are the haplotypes, significant haplotypes on chromosome 20. And the trait here is birth weight. Okay. On the y-axis, I have minus log 10 of the p-value. So it shows you how significant a haplotype is on birth weight. So this is the most significant haplotype that I found in the entire regions in the entire genome for birth weight. So this region is about 3 megabase pairs, and the frequency is 16% in the population, and its effect is increased about half a power of birth weight. This graph, significant haplotypes on chromosome 6, but this time I show you the haplotype that has the largest positive effect on the trait. So this one is significant, and it increased almost 1 pound of birth weight. So if you have one copy of this haplotype, the second one, one copy, then the animal has 1 pound of birth weight more than the animals that do not have any copy of this haplotype. And if an animal has two copies of this haplotype, the birth weight is about 2 pounds above other animals compared to animals that do not have any copies. Chromosome 7, this one shows the haplotype, significant haplotype, that has the largest negative impact on birth weight. So one copy of this haplotype reduced birth weight by almost half a pound. So any animals that carry this haplotype has lighter birth weight compared to those that carry, let's say, this haplotype or this haplotype. Okay, so this is for birth weight. And all of these three haplotypes did not have any significant impact on hyperpregnancy. Next one, for winning weight, again, chromosome 20, the most significant haplotype improved winning weight by 3 pounds. One copy increased winning weight by 3 pounds. Frequency is about 23%. The haplotype with the largest positive impact improved winning weight about 5 pounds. So if an animal has 2 copies of this haplotype, it will have an increase of 10 pounds in terms of winning weight. And chromosome, this is on chromosome 2. This is the haplotype with the largest negative impact on winning weight. And it reduced winning weight by, I think, 3 pounds. Again, these 3 haplotypes did not have significant impact on hyperpregnancy. This one for post-winning gain, again, chromosome 20. And the most significant haplotype improved post-winning gain by 3 pounds. The largest impact on, the largest positive impact on post-winning gain is about 5.7 pounds. And the largest negative impact on post-winning gain is about 3 pounds. Again, all of these 3 haplotypes did not have significant impact on hyperpregnancy. Okay, so this is another haplotype. Now, if you look at this table first, I have haplotype effect. So this haplotype decreased birth weight, winning weight, and post-winning gain. And this box plot, it shows, okay, so these are 3 categories. So these groups of animals had 0 copy of this haplotype. This group has 1 copy of the haplotype, and this group has 2 copies of the haplotype. And this is the distribution of hyperpregnancy EPD. So decreased haplotype, haplotype with negative impact on growth actually improved hyperpregnancy EPD. Right? The same trend you might see with this haplotype. And these are the 2 haplotypes on chromosome 7. Two haplotypes on chromosome 20. Now, this is another another different trend. So this one with this haplotype improve growth, but at the same time, it has positive impact on hyperpregnancy. This one has negative impact on growth, but improve hyperpregnancy very significantly. This is chromosome 20. This is chromosome 21. And the trend is even clearer with this haplotype. They're all significant. They all have negative impact on growth, and they improve hyperpregnancy. But this one is a different story. This haplotype on chromosome 20 have negative impact on growth, and at the same time, it has negative impact on hyperpregnancy. While this one improve growth and improve hyperpregnancy at the same time. So kind of like at this stage of this analysis, I think I received mixed signal from hyperpregnancy. So clearly that I have identified haplotypes that have significant impact on growth, but those, the relationship between those haplotypes and hyperpregnancy is not clear. So some region have positive, some region have negative impact. So I think I would need to do more analysis to find out the regions and to answer why it happened this way. And maybe I have to include more traits, all the traits that we use in evaluation. With that, I would like to conclude that the distribution of our age and haplotype vary among chromosomes. Distribution of our age density might reflect past selection programs, and haplotypes, RH haplotype in association with growth were identified, but they gave me mixed signal for their relationship with fertility. And I will update my results in a paper very soon when I have all of the analysis completed. I wasn't prepared to talk longer, so this is all I have. So thank you, and any questions?